Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. Our guest tonight is Lisette Coley, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. Back to you, Bob.
And Lisa Coley is the president of the Parapsychology Foundation. She's the granddaughter of the foundation's founder, renowned medium Eileen J. Garrett, and the daughter of the organization's past president, the late Eileen Coley. Lisette has almost 40 years of experience working in many capacities within the organization. She started as a young pup. She's expanded the prestigious foundation by establishing a media presence, including a YouTube channel, social media platforms, online events. She continues to interact with the worlds of science and publishing and websites and expansion of the Eileen J. Garrett Library, which is located in Greenport, New York, on Long Island. Lisette is also listed in both Who's Who in American Women and Who's Who in the World. And the website for the foundation is parapsychology.org. Welcome, Lisette.
Well, boy, guys, that's some intro. I don't know if I can live up to that. That's like a whole life review.
Well, I had to leave out a lot of stuff. I mean, I had to collapse to 4 decades into a couple of sentences.
I know, and it's really strange because I'm only about 36.
Yeah, well, so you say, I mean, I thought you were 39. You're fibbing a little bit.
Charming diplomat, you.
Yeah. Well, the more I read, I mean, I can't think of any one family that has more of an influence in the world of parapsychology than your family. I mean, it really is incredible. I know that your grandmother, as I mentioned, Eileen Garrett, founded Parapsychology Foundation in 1951. We know that she was a parapsychologist and a world-class medium, but why don't we start off? Give us a little bit more about Eileen Garrett's background and history and why she started the organization.
Well, she was just a little Irish Colleen, born in 1893 in County Meath, a tiny village in Beaupark in County Meath in Ireland. And she had a very tragic beginning in that her parents were, she was a product of a mixed marriage, and that was a big no-no in Ireland back in the day between Protestant and Catholic. Her mother, postpartum drowned herself 3 days in after her birth, and the father 3 months later blew his brains out, which is not an auspicious beginning. But this put her as a very lonely child to begin with, somewhat isolated for sure, because of her strange circumstances. But from early on, she had very strong, which she came to understand to be psychic gifts, which were not at all well received. She was considered and called the devil's spawn at the time. She was called a changeling. She was told not to speak of the things that she saw. I mean, one day she saw a beloved aunt, her aunt Leonie, on the porch holding a baby. And she ran in to get the aunt that had adopted her to say, Aunt Leonie's here with a baby. And of course, she got there and the aunt was not present, and then the next day the news came that that aunt had died in childbirth, and the adopted aunt was furious with her and really tried to shut her down and said, never, never, never speak of these kind of gifts. So at the age of 15, she managed to get out of Ireland on the back of a motorcycle, I think with a good-looking somebody on the back of a motorcycle. I don't know how she had the nerve to do that, but she did like motorcycles. Got herself to England. She liked good-looking men, too. But she got to England and married my grandfather, who didn't last too long in the marriage. Again, tragic in that she had two sons and a miscarriage, and then my mother. And both sons died in a meningitis epidemic. So again, all this tragedy and all along these psychic gifts, these burgeoning psychic gifts were becoming more and more difficult for her to handle. In the late 20s, when she started falling into trance, which she didn't understand, she came under the care of Hewitt McKenzie, who was a devout spiritualist who was running the College of Psychics Science, I think it was called in those days. And he was training her because by that time two controls had joined the group. She called them her traveling gentlemen that she traveled around with, because when she would go into trance, she was a mental medium. When she would go into trance, Uvani, who styled himself as a lowly Arab, he acted as the gatekeeper. So that when she went into trance, Uvani would greet you. You would state, as a sitter, would state your business as to what questions or who you wanted to try and contact, somewhat like a telephone operator, I presume, in those days. And there was a second control, Dr. Abdul Latif, who was purported to be a physician from the 12th century court of Saladin. And he was very good in diagnosing illnesses or whatever. So in the 20s, she was a practicing medium. Of course, the World War I was going on. Well, earlier than that, I guess, in around 16 to 19. My mother was born in 1916. She then, married a second gentleman. She had a premonition that he wouldn't last long during the war, so she saw him off on a train, and the poor dear had a experience. She was at the Savoy Hotel, I think, a restaurant, and she had a terrible vision of him stepping on a landmine, which and being blown up. She collapsed, and 3 days later, the telegram came to confirm that he had been lost in a wire cutting expedition. So all these very, very strong occurrences were really making her think that what is this? Am I losing my mind? Am I truly in contact with the beyond? What is this? Which sort of set her on the path to be a guinea pig, as it were, for various researchers when she could find them, not to validate her gifts. She was firm with the information that she was bringing through. Of course, there was a question in her mind as to what was the source of the information that she was getting. So during her lifetime, I mean, she was a practicing medium for many years, but as I said, she was a guinea pig for various researchers around the world. And in 1951, she teamed up with a longtime friend, Francis Bolton, the Honorable Francis Bolton, a very wealthy Republican House of Representatives lady from Congress, and they decided to form Parapsychology Foundation in 1951, having just celebrated our 65th anniversary, with the idea of really trying to get to the bottom of the, or get to the answers to the questions raised by psychic functioning. So yeah. I've gone on and on. I'll take a breath and throw it back to you. How's that?
Well, thanks. It's fascinating. You know, as I'm listening one tragedy after another in her life, we hear so often, that very often, trauma is a trigger to psychic ability. And I wonder if things would have turned out differently if she had this neat little suburban life, as opposed to one which with following one catastrophe after another.
Yes, for sure. I think that's definitely part and parcel of the psychic gift. Yeah.
Now, isn't it true that she heard a voice that told her that she really needed to build like a brick and mortar,
Yeah, apparently she writes about in the periphery of sleep early morning. She really had this whole, well, not a vision per se, but the voice sort of sketched out a whole plan for her that she should get with it and build an edifice, I think it said, that would be incorporating a research library, a bunch of conferences, so that people, because don't forget, people and science were not really, of course, the London SPR was always looking into these things, but Garrett wanted all disciplines in science to look at the questions, and so the idea that this edifice would maintain this library that would share information, but also within a publishing context, and also these conference frameworks, that they would be able to have a give and take and really get down to the nitty gritty and try and figure out just what the hell she was experiencing.
Right, and the rest is history. We're gonna take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes. So stay with us. Be back, I'd say 3 minutes, and we'll pick up where we left off.
Okay.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The sign registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Tuning in, our guest tonight is Lisette Coley. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org.
Lisette, I always wanted to ask you, I mean, I know that you developed a keen interest in psi phenomena and parapsychology over the years, but I often wonder if you felt a family obligation to carry on the work. I mean, you have the granddaughter of one of the world's greatest mediums, and your mother was one of the pioneers in the industry for so many decades. I mean, did you have an option at all, or is this, you know?
Well, I started off having an option, but it started to narrow pretty soon when I was working at the when I started working at the foundation while I was getting my degree at Hunter College. I would run between classes, so I think in the beginning it was an obligation. I always thought that I was leaving. That was the deal. In 6 months, I would start off. I wanted to be in the diplomatic service, which is really frightening. But then again, we couldn't do much worse than we're doing now. So, however, I then stuck around a little bit too long and got personally interested and engaged. Of course, there's a large component of seeing all this work that's gone before and wanting it not to be lost. So, yes, I do feel that responsibility very strongly. But then the phenomena and the questions, really, I got hooked personally because so many things crossed my desk. I was so lucky to meet so many people, both people who were psychic themselves, but also the researchers. So I really was in the catbird seat. So I'm a very lucky girl when I look back through that. So I'm personally engaged.
Were you close with your grandmother? I mean, I would think that, did you ever get to, were you curious? Did you ask her? You know, Grandma,
she kept, I never knew what she was, I didn't really know what she was doing until about the age of 12 or 13, because she sort of, not that she was hiding it, it was just something that, you know, people, and I grew up in the 50s, so she was weird anyway. Everybody else's grandmother was basting a turkey and baking a pie. Yeah. Mine was bringing people like Aldous Huxley home and Salvador Dali. So it was a strange upbringing. When I was about 12, 13, my first sitting, I was dismissed. She was having a sitting. I was in the south of France where she maintained a home, and the foundation had a European headquarters at the time. And I was dismissed because, you know, a sitting is a very private, interlude, and you shouldn't be listening. But I had never seen her in trance, and I ran upstairs to the bedroom. There was a porch that was overhanging, and I crawled on my belly like the World War II Kilroy was here, you know, the guy with his nose over the wall sort of deal, and I hung off the balcony, and I watched her go into trance, and I must say that shook me to the core, because you can read about these things, you can be told that that's what she was doing, but I just could not wrap my head around what I was seeing when she went into trance. You know, her breathing would change, the head would drop to her chest, and after some rhythmic breathing, she would pick up the head, and this totally different voice, the control would appear, and I talk about drop your jaw. I just couldn't wrap my head around that. Yeah, for sure. So after about 5 minutes, I got so shook up with the whole thing that I just backed very quickly back into the bedroom and confessed later on. And she always said, well, dear, you know, you have to be curious, but don't worry, dear, it will come. And that put me for many years being frightened that what was it and not being at all sure that I wanted it to make its appearance. But now with maturity, I'm curious, and it's more like, well, hell's bells, bring it on. I want to know too, you know, what is this that you're involved with? So that's where I am.
It's quite a you hit it on the head when, you know, we think of grandmothers and, you know, with the aprons and cooking. I mean, you must have had a one hell of a Thanksgiving dinner, you know, with especially the control.
I know. It was different for sure.
Now, you know, from what I've read, she never really said conclusively that she was communicating with the dead. As you mentioned, that she was curious herself of where that was coming. I mean, she was open to other possibilities, like the superconscious.
Trace memories, collective unconscious, telepathy. You know, there's a famous quote, and I ascribe to it, that she said, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I believe in the paranormal. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, I don't. And on Sunday, I don't give a damn. And I think she was, that's, I find myself in the same seat, because there are times when I, of course, it's all as it seems, and we do survive. Of course, how can we not, right? And yet on the other, then, you know, the skeptical little voice says, yes, but are we sure? Blah, blah, blah. So we just have to keep digging some more to see if we can find out what's really going on, for sure.
Yeah. And yet she, I mean, there's a wonderful quote that I took from, I think it was her autobiography, you know, we're talking about her connection to nature, and she said, how much unnecessary and hopeless misery might have been spared to man had he observed, as I had, the true nature of birth and death. I knew both of these processes of change to be joyful and equally creative. Why, since the balance of the whole universe is kept so perfectly by the infinite direction, must man alone, of all living creatures, fear for this place in the scheme of things, and be so lost and frightened in facing what he called death?
Well, you've certainly done your homework.
Well,
you know,
it's wonderful quote. You know, I mean, it's part of her mission, you know, to let others know about the continuum of life. But it doesn't sound like somebody that's conflicted about what happens after life, you know.
Yes. You know, it's funny because I think that, of course, she was this trance medium. And I think when she founded the foundation in 51, she was very much trying to get science to look at the phenomena. So not that she wasn't true to herself, but she sort of backed off from her mediumistic faculties because she wanted science. And that was, you know, it's like J.B. Ryan with the cards and the scientific methodology. So she was trying to convince people to look at our phenomena. What I find myself now, I have what I call mystery boxes. These are boxes of files of her unpublished writings, correspondence, trance sittings. And I've come to the conclusion that she was very much more spiritual than she let on. Certainly after the birth of the foundation in 51. So I'm busy right now trying to collect all that together, and of course the words of the controls and some of the results of the trance sittings. But there was a very, very strong spiritual sense to her that somehow has gotten lost in the idea of the executrix running this scientifically bound foundation. And I'd like to bring the two sides more in proportion of Garrett for a better picture of the lady herself.
Right. And you know, we haven't talked much about, you know, your mother, who was a powerhouse in the foundation.
For sure. Well, you know, it wasn't meant to be a family affair at all, guys. I mean, but who else was going to do it? And and Eileen Coley had junketed around with Mrs. G, as we call her, and my mother being Mrs. C. I don't get to be called anything, but I suppose that's not such a bad idea. But in any case, Mrs. G and Mrs. C. Mrs. C was extremely, we always say that we owe a debt of gratitude to Eileen Coley, because of course Garrett was the whirlwind, was the creative, was the psychic force, that personality, but whirlwinds and creative people are a little messy, and you need a cleanup crew after the tornado whips through the house. So my mother, with her very practical shoes and very sound mind and organized, was a wonderful second president for the foundation. And I'm able to draw on, yes, the flamboyance and the excitement of Eileen Garrett, and yet the dedication and good work that Coley brought to the fore. And hopefully I'm trying to be, I don't know if I'm successful, but trying to be an amalgamation of the two. And there's a fourth generation, God help us, in the mix. My daughter Anastasia has been dragged into the family mix at all, realizing that there is this valuable work and we just don't want it to be lost, all this, everything that's gone before. So she's helping me now in going through the mystery boxes and converting videotapes. And she's serving her apprenticeship in much the same way as Eileen Coley did with her mother, I did with Eileen Coley, and now poor Anna is stuck limping along with me.
Yeah. Well, I think this is the way it's supposed to be, and something tells me that the Parapsychology Foundation is going to be around in perpetuity, and it's always going to remain a family affair. So, you know, that's...
We're just too stubborn to give up. That's what it is.
So, really. You know, I mean, obviously, your mother, Eileen Coley, I mean, she, as you described, she was very focused. She was very... grounded. Ironically, she did more to support the field than Eileen Garrett did, than her mother.
Yes. All those grants. I mean, the multitude of grants. When I think it's like a who's who of everybody in psychical research, and then, of course, the science of parapsychology. So it's really a wonderful legacy. But the deal is we don't want to rest on our laurels. We want to support the young parapsychologists coming up, because, of course, it's a very complex field. It's not well funded, nor, may I say, is Parapsychology Foundation. And here comes the crass plea for money, as we are a 501c nonprofit foundation with tax-deductible donations, very much appreciated. But we really have to continue to attract people to our field and get them to work in the trenches along with us to continue to get to those answers that I keep talking about, and that which you two with the Forever Family Foundation are also in the trenches trying to get answers. But with you, I think it's wonderful that you are helping so many people come to grips with psychic functioning in their lives and the survival question, because the human touch and what this really means, never mind figuring out perhaps how it works, that's very important, but what is the true meaning of life? And that's what I think we're all trying to get to.
Yeah, well, your family certainly paved the way for so the rest of us feel an obligation to keep the charge going, just as you do.
We're all in good company. It's a very leaky boat, but we're all, you know, we're bailing as fast as we can, right?
That's true. I have to ask, since so often we see mediumship and other psychic ability passed on in generations in one family. Did your mother have any type of intuitive ability that she may have inherited from her mom?
No, my mother always said that she totally negated any possible gift that she would have, in as much as, you know, when you're growing up, I presume as the children of superstars or whatever, that great white light that you're trying to grow up next to is a little hard. So I think she probably just wanted to paddle her own canoe and shut down any kind of psychic functioning. Whereas myself, I had a lot of experiences as a child, and I was rather the moth to the flame, seeing old Eileen Garrett grandma over there in the midst of a great circle and all this, the flamboyance. So I was attracted to that. So I think I was probably more open, certainly more open than Eileen Coley. So I think there, it's in the air, but certainly I'm not a trans medium. And what do you call it? Who could compare to Eileen Garrett? So
right. I mean, I could see the analogy, you know, with you know, actors and their kids, or sports figures and their kids. I mean, how do you compete with your parents and grandparents, you know, so you're in
exactly.
The same. What, I mean, it must have been a little frightening. I mean, you already described, you know, seeing Eileen Garrett go into trance and so forth, but she also submitted herself to intense scrutiny, you know, barrage of tests at the hands of the academics and the parapsychologists, the psychologists.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean,
I would see her I would go to the office in the early days when we had a research department. And in fact, the early Maimonides dream research started at Parapsychology Foundation when we had a research lab with Stan Krippner and Monty Ullman. And I remember seeing her with all the, in those days, you know, all the wires to the brain and the skull cap and this, that, and the other. And of course, she was also at the forefront of the early drug research in the 60s. In fact, Parapsychology Foundation gave grants to Timothy Leary before he was someone that we swept under the rug when he took it a little bit too far.
Really?
Yeah. I remember coming home from school before LSD was out on the street and seeing Garrett being followed around by two secretaries, stenographers, taking down commentary. I think it was Dr. Duncan Blewett at the time, and they were all following Garrett, and she was talking to a tree. And I said to my mother, why is she talking to a tree? And my mother said, oh, well, it's for science, dear, because she was under the influence. It was under the influence. But I've managed to find a lot of these, the drug research. And of course, now there's a resurgence in that kind of interest. So she was really on the vanguard. You know, she would eagerly entertain any possibility. In fact, people like Eric Dingwall would castigate her and say, how could you give money to that charlatan? Or why would you look into that? And she would say, but my dear, one doesn't know, does one? You know, on the off chance that there might be a salient piece. I mean, she wasn't a fool. She didn't suffer fools. But right. She was curious enough that and had the big picture that she was eager to give people the room to hang themselves, shall we say. Definitely.
Yeah. So time for another break. We're talking with Lisa Coley, the president of the Parapsychology Foundation, whose website is parapsychology.org. Going to have a quick break, and there's a lot more to talk about, so stay with us.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more. The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.kamlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Just tuning in, our guest tonight is Lisa Coley. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. Now I'm going to take a few moments to bring our listeners up to date on Forever Family Foundation happenings. We want to remind everybody to always check the events page on our website regularly for all information on events and announcements at foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and all reservations can be made online. We have a few free meetings coming up in August. Unfortunately, our Visionary Explorers group on August 12th has been canceled. Our Afterlife Discussion group on August 22nd in Cold Spring Harbor, New York, will meet at 6:45 p.m., and our Afterlife Discussion group on August 27th in Crown Point, Indiana, will meet at 2:30 p.m. Our next webinar of the year is The Telepathy Project with Diane Hennessy Powell, Dr. Diane Hennessy Powell, on September 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Our annual grief retreat last month was filled to capacity. For those who may have been closed out of this great annual retreat, do not fear. We have arranged for a winter retreat in warm and beautiful Florida this coming January 5th through 7th, 2018. Be one of only 50 guests who come from across the globe to spend an all-inclusive weekend featuring spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Joseph Scheel, Janet Nohavik, and Doreen Malloy, who will be working alongside Dr. Mo Hanna and the rest of our professional staff. The weekend also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. We know January seems far away. However, registration for this weekend has already been brisk. Our Oceanside New York event on August 25th, Visitation Rites with Forever Family Foundation certified medium Lynn LeClaire, is all sold out. However, we do have a fabulous New York event set for Sunday, October 29th. The Afterlife Luncheon is a five-hour event that includes a scrumptious lunch. Join us as New York Times bestselling author Leslie Kane, who has written Surviving Death, A Journalist Investigates Evidence for an Afterlife. She will be joined by extraordinary medium Laura Lynn Jackson, author of her New York Times bestseller, The Light Between Us, Stories from Heaven, Lessons for the Living. It will be a compelling afternoon of learning and spirit communication. Reservations for this event have been steady, so you might want to reserve your seat soon if you are thinking of attending. Our Holidays Past raffle is up and running, so please help us out and buy some raffles, lots of raffles, to win as many as five readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Renata Santarelli, Renee Buck, Eliza Ray, Catherine Nadal, and Neil Zapowski. It's only $5 to enter. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. Lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Lisa Coley, president of Parapsychology Foundation. You can learn a lot more about their work on parapsychology.org, including ways to donate. Lisa, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Eileen J. Garrett Library. I mean, we were fortunate that you graciously showed us around there recently, and I was drooling, you know, as somebody that, you know, loves to read about, you know, the history of psychical research. I mean, it's just, it has to be, if not the, you know, the best collection, among the best collections in the world, is it not?
I would think that we're one of the top three. Of course, the Library of the Society for Psychical Research in Cambridge and also Freiburg University in Germany. But I would think probably in the United States, the Garrett Library is probably the largest of his kind. And part of our strength, apart from, of course, all the books to do with psychical research, is we tried very hard, well, not me, because it predates me since 1951, but we tried very much to have the books on the shelf that you would need to be able to understand before you could make the jump to the paranormal hypothesis. So there's quite a lot of reference material and stuff that helps in your search, because so many people are interested in different facets of the phenomena that parapsychologists study. But let me interject, if I may, because you know I'm a bit pushy. I didn't want to leave your listeners with the idea that the Parapsychology Foundation is only staffed by the Garrett Coley dynasty, or if you want to call it that, because over the years we've been very, very lucky to have many researchers working with us, editorial people, and right now, of course, I'm people very dear to our heart are our research fellows, Dr. Carlos S. Alvarado and Dr. Nancy L. Zingroni, who over the years have been on staff with me at Parapsychology Foundation when they were living in Manhattan, and now as research fellows, and the other research fellows, Jim Matlock, big in reincarnation, Kathy Dalton with creativity. So all these people are part of the PF family, and literally the family with the genes could not have done it without these very dedicated and really erudite researchers helping us along.
Yeah, very true. And we know that, you know, people like Carlos and Nancy and Jim are very focused on education, which is so
exactly awesome. That's the key. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're wonderful and a wealth of knowledge. Tell us about the YouTube channel. You have a YouTube channel as well?
Well, yes, we do. And for many years, the foundation ran a perspectives lecture series, and various researchers within our library. We also used to have them at the New York Academy of Sciences. I don't know if the New York Academy in those days realized what Parapsychology Foundation was discussing. But in any case, these were all videotaped. And what are you going to do with videotapes? Also, some of our conferences were videotaped, and part of the Garrett is that Garrett Library is a video audio archive of over 600 titles. So we suddenly realized that we should convert the videos, all these wonderful lectures, and also create new products such as Parapsychology Foundation on the Move. We just went down to see Sally Feather and at the Rhine Center, because of course that's another legacy, sort of another family that Garrett went down to J.B. Rhine between. I think she came to the States in 1931. I think she was down there doing the card guessing experiments with J.B. in 1932 to like 1938, and of course they continued a very nice working relationship. It blew hot and cold because of the two personalities involved. I weren't exactly easygoing, but what do you call it? We went down there and interviewed Sally. So we're creating new product and also interviewing, because I am particularly lucky that I have access to researchers in the field. And I think a lot of people who don't understand what we do, when the researchers themselves are interviewed, the non-informed interviewer doesn't know the correct questions to ask, number one. And number two, the interviewee is also concerned of there's going to be gotcha journalism sort of thing. So right. I'm particularly well-placed to be able to ask, hopefully, intelligent questions, but then so are you, my dear, as evidence tonight, do this YouTube amalgamation, melange of all sorts of different film clips. So I would welcome everybody to go to the YouTube channel, Parapsychology Foundation. I think there's well over 80 films, and every week we add new. So that's my commercial about that.
Okay, and I know that for those in the New York area, I mean, you've been doing, getting back to doing some lectures at the library, so I guess you'll post that information.
We'll try, yes, to do that, and also we've been doing, Nancy and Carlos have been instrumental through the WizIQ teaching platform. Parapsychology Foundation has what we call the Lyceum, and that's our teaching arm. It has its own website, pflyceum.org. In fact, the foundation has five websites. The main one that you've been mentioning is parapsychology.org, but there is this PF Lyceum with a wealth of free information and blogs or whatever. And then there's the Psychic Explorer Club that we're going to be rehauling and bringing back. We're in the process of trying to refurbish that. There's the electronic store, www.simart.com. And we also have we were the recipient of our longtime grantee was Rhea White, the fabulous Rhea White with her exceptional human experience. Okay. So at her death, her library and her materials were donated to the foundation. So that's something else on my to-do list, which is, as you understand, the to-do lists are particularly long, especially when one has no minions to help do that. But we do maintain Rhea's EHE.org website. So I have plans, and hopefully we'll be able to facilitate overhauling that website as well.
So after all of these years, as you reflect back, I mean, have you noticed of late any greater acceptance of non-physical phenomena among the mainstream?
I think so. I believe so, yes. I mean, my grandmother and my mother used to say that they spent all their time explaining what parapsychology is. I spend most of my time explaining what it's not, because of course the public, you can't turn on a television show nowadays without hearing our buzzwords about poltergeists and this, that, and the other. But of course that's still not understood, the actual phenomena. But I think, whereas I didn't like to say where I worked, because it elicited such a negative response. You know, when you're signing up for the PTA and they say to you, what do you do? And I would say, well, I administer a nonprofit, because right. I find with parapsychology, psychic matters, it's it elicits a strong response, either negative or positive. Either people are going to take three steps forward and say, wow, that's fascinating. You know, my aunt stopped a clock, or what do you think about this? Or they take three steps back and go, oh boy, right? So there doesn't seem to be much middle ground. But I'm finding that now people are much more fascinated in what we've been attempting to do than years back.
Well, I that's encouraging. I would agree. And you've certainly done more than your fair share, you and and your grandmother and your mother and now your daughter. So it's wonderful. I appreciate you joining us tonight. Again,
my pleasure.
Lisa Coley. I did mention the same website has links to some of the other things that Lisa was talking about, the Lyceum Academy and so forth. So parapsychology.org. Thanks again for being with us, and we hope you'll join us again soon.
Absolutely, anytime.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Guys, very much.
Thank
Night
you.
Now.
Bye-bye.
Now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Ed O'Brien, Sandy Raybould, Eddie Coons, Linda Ellis, Matt Mello, Tina Young, Evelyn Ingram, and Cynthia Post, Helen Montalto, Michael Tim, David Haith, Glenna Irwin, Marianne Pierschka, Stanley Mullen, Donna Mello, James Rafferty, Diane Archangel, Isabel Ginsburg, Vince Mattia, Lauren Ramnath, Rich LeBly, Veronica James, Alex Hanna, and Catherine Pye. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.